I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I am not sure what gives Brother David tremors when he speaks, but speaking after a man who was commended to the Lord's work 10 years before I was born makes me shake in my shoes. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll tell you how I'd like to fit in this afternoon if the Lord helps me. Brother Valance this morning was giving us foundational truth about the Lord Jesus and the work of the cross. Mr. Crawford has been giving us foundation truth about the local assembly. And I would like to give a little foundation truth about the nature and character of a Christian whole. And so I want to read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I'm really reading for these last 12 words in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to begin by being off topic, because I want to begin by asking you why you came to this conference. There is a great hue and cry among us that we need ministry that is relevant. It's the cry of our day. And who could fault that? I never like to come and listen to something that's irrelevant, and neither do you. But what do people mean when they say we want ministry that is relevant? Well, I think they mean they want ministry that meets their need. Who could find fault with that? I have been praying that the Lord would meet some needs that I have at this conference. And I hope that that's the attitude of your heart, that through the teaching and the ministry of God's Word, that saints might be fed and their needs might be met. And through the preaching of the gospel, the great eternal need of souls who are still lost might be met as well. But there's actually a further statement that is often appended to the statement that we want ministry that is relevant, ministry that meets our need, and it is this. We want ministry that meets our need right now. And I want to propose at the beginning of my little message that there is a certain inadequacy in that sort of thinking. I am not going to despise for one moment the fact that Christians have immediate needs. I am not going at all to speak down on the idea that God has the power, thank God for this, to bring a word that exactly addresses my need for the moment. I'm grateful that God in His massive kindness actually deigns to do things like that. But I want to point out that there is more to ministry than simply meeting present needs. I will recall for you the words of the great apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20. Twice over he said, I did not shrink from declaring unto you anything that was profitable unto you. And later he said, I did not shrink from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. I have a little analogy for you today, just really quickly at the beginning. I want you to think about it. I want you all to imagine a beloved aunt who has just passed away. Aunt Beulah, who has gone to Beulah Land, if you want to mix your metaphors. And to my young friends here, she has left you what appears to be a king's ransom. She has left you $1,000. Now, I know some of the older folks here, that's just what you stick in the ashtray of your car. But for the kids here, that's a lot of money. Is it $1,000? What would you do with $1,000 today? Well, I hope that you would take me and a dozen of your best friends down to Baskin and Robbins, and we could enjoy a happy little time together. But wisdom would dictate that some of that money should be taken where? Well, it should be taken down to the bank. It should be put in a CD or put in a savings account. Why would you do that? Because the very real possibility exists that a day may come when there are requirements in your life, when resources are not available. And what I have laid aside is going to stand me, it is going to preserve me, it is going to serve me in that moment of my need. May I tell you passionately today that we need to listen to ministry from all of the Word of God. We need to listen to ministry that does not appear on the surface to meet a present need. That they may come, young brother, young sister, when you are not surrounded by believers as you are at this conference. You may not have your handy-dandy New Testament tucked away in your hip pocket. And yet there may be a trial. There may be a question. There may be a temptation. I want to tell you that it is the Word of God and the teaching of God that has been received into my heart and into my soul, that by the grace of God has been meditated upon in my heart and practiced in my life, that will preserve me in that future moment. I'm going to talk about something today that's not relevant to everybody. Or perhaps it is. Because I want to talk just for a few minutes about the importance of raising children for God. Let me tell you that this may be more relevant for you than you think. Can I speak to grandparents here today? The Bible does not presume that when you have raised your own children that you are free to move to Florida and idle away the balance of your days. The Bible refers to children and our children's children and makes clear that older believers have an ongoing responsibility in influencing and nurturing children and grandchildren for God. Let me speak to those of you who are middle-aged today, like myself, with children in their late teens and early 20s. This is a topic that's relevant for you. As you gather your dear children and seek to give them those last instructions before they marry and step out into the responsibility of manhood and womanhood in their own lives if they will live before God, I hope that with all your soul you will encourage them, not merely to make money and to be successful in this world. Can I speak to my middle-aged peers here today? Encourage your children in God's name to raise families that will live for the Lord Jesus. And I speak to parents here today. I feel great tenderness when I speak to young parents. This is a godless world into which you have brought children. It's a world without restraint or sensibility or godliness. It is amoral. Amoral is only immoral with a press agent. It is an immoral world. And you have little tender ones that God has committed to your care. And today, in God's name, I want to give you some truth from God's Word that will help you to take these little children and nurture them to godly maturity. I want to speak to the teenagers for a minute. Because this is ministry that's relevant for you. Because you need to start thinking today about how the future of your life is going to unfold if God spares you. And long before you acquire a boyfriend or a girlfriend, before you become engaged to be married, before you step up before a preacher and say, I do, you need to be calculating within your soul how you are going to take the great responsibilities of adulthood, of bringing children into the world, and the godly legacy that you are going to leave for them. You're engaged today. I hope you'll talk to your partner about what you believe about raising children. And I hope that if you discover in your conversation that there are vast differences in how you intend to raise them for God, that you will postpone the wedding. Better to be embarrassed a little and wait. than to have a couple who disagrees about how to raise children for God. So this is, I hope, relevant ministry today. I want to tell you that it's ministry that I speak with some pretty tremendous humility, because I don't think I was a good father. I was a man who was just barely smart enough to marry a good wife. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? All you men should be doing this. And I'm not going to give you anecdotes about how smart I was in bringing kids into the world and how I raised them, or what terrific spiritual successes they are, because history tells us the children can sometimes disappoint their parents long into their 50s and 60s. This is no time to declare victory. But brothers and sisters, our own failures that we feel so keenly are no excuse for failing to declare the whole counsel of God. And I want to speak today very clearly about raising children for Jesus Christ. I was in Seattle last week. I had an afternoon off. I was walking through the downtown district. I went by a store, and I saw a plaque in the window. This is what it said. It said, "A wise man gives his children roots and wings." A wise man gives his children roots and wings. Now look, I understand that there's a certain semantic incongruity with that, because things that have roots don't have wings, and things with wings don't have roots. But I want to tell you that the Lord spoke to me. I don't know who wrote that. Maybe it was a wise Chinese proverb. I have no idea. Maybe it came from a fortune cookie. But I'll tell you where it took my mind. It took me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And I began to think, and the Lord has been speaking to me all this past week, about the importance of giving my children roots and wings, of raising my children, of bringing them to spiritual maturity in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to ask you today, for those of you who are parents, how you view your children. Are they just your friends to be indulged? I see some boys up here laughing. Their parents weren't their friends. Good for your parents. I wasn't friends with my kids either. Children are not friends to be indulged. Children are a stewardship that has been committed to us by God Almighty. And under His eye, you and I have responsibilities to give them roots and wings, to give them foundation, to give them flight, to give them a future for the glory of God. I need to talk about some words in this verse that are not evident in our modern English in 2005. What does it mean to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? This little expression, "bring them up," just simply means to raise them to maturity. It is the idea of a man who has his eye on the goal when he brings his children into the world. It is not parental duty done reactively. It is parental duty discharged proactively. Brothers and sisters, it is insufficient to raise our children by merely meeting the challenges of each new day. The only adequate parenting that the Bible envisions is a mind that fixes itself upon the goal of raising children for the Lord Jesus. Children who are equipped, children who are fit, children who are mature, children who have been raised for God. Miss the goal, fail in the stewardship. Set your eye upon the goal, and God will give you grace to bring them up for His glory. I'm going to talk about the two center words. I'm going to be very quick today. And I'm going to be really simple, and I'm going to be really direct. And I apologize if there's somehow this is insulting to anyone. I don't mean it to be. I am well aware that there are godly parents in this audience who did their best to fix their eye on the goal. And children have not always turned out as moms and dads would have prayerfully longed that they should do. I'm aware of that. And I hope God will always help me to be sensitive and tender about that. There comes a time when children make their own choices and exert their own wills. And this ministry is not intended to discourage Christians who have disappointments in their life. It is to fortify those of us with an eye to the future, not only in our homes, but in the assembly. And I think Mr. Crawford would agree with this. The foundation of all successful assembly work is sound, godly, Bible-ordered families that will allow God's assemblies to flourish and to grow. Let me just talk very briefly about the words that are found in this beautiful verse. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This word nurture is the word that we normally know as the word discipline. And I want to suggest very clearly this afternoon that the discipline of children is the godly foundation that is required for future godliness. Character cannot be developed in chaos. Truth cannot be communicated in turmoil. Children need disciplined, structured environments if godly maturity is to be achieved. And just as a little sidelight, I don't care what the espresso-sipping, NPR-listening, tree-hugging, neo-pagan left-wing deconstructionist, postmodernist. Have I left anything out? Idiots. Try to tell us. It doesn't take a village to raise children. It takes two parents who are committed in absolute godliness to raise children in a disciplined way for God. You say, Mr. Shah, how do you know that? I don't know a lot of things, and the older I get, the less I know. But I know that the book of Proverbs is still in my Bible. Aren't you thankful for that? I learned that discipline is necessary to express love. He that spareth his rod hateth his child, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. I don't care what law is passed. You will omit the godly discipline of your children to their greatest disadvantage. Discipline is necessary to quench rebellion. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Discipline is necessary to impart wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child who gets his own way bringeth his mother to shame. Discipline is necessary to assert authority. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. But last of all, and maybe most importantly, discipline is necessary to secure future blessing. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. How many of you here have heard of a lady named Susanna Wesley? Susanna Wesley brought 17 children into the world. Sorry, Mom, she passed you by a mile. She brought two of the most famous Christians that I know of since the time of the Apostle Paul into the world, Charles and John Wesley. So Susanna Wesley knew something about raising children. This is what she wrote. The parent who studies to subdue self-will in his child works together with God in the renewing and saving of a soul. The parent who indulges it, the child, does the devil's work, makes religion impractical, salvation unattainable, and does all that is in him lies to damn his child, soul and body forever. I'm glad I didn't write that, because some of you would want to tar and feather me and run me out of town, but I'm going to get away with it because I'm quoting somebody else, but I believe it exactly. Proper foundation for children is a disciplined life and a disciplined home. And I trust today that you will understand that to give your children godly spiritual roots requires a disciplined home and a disciplined life. Discipline your child, and he will give you rest. Give them roots. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to talk to you for a few minutes before I close about the importance not only of giving your children discipline, the godly foundation for every life, but I want to speak to you for a few moments about the importance of instruction. The wonderful wings that will lift your child into a life of godliness and spirituality. And so I'm going to stop and I'm going to be the bull in the china shop for a minute. And I'm just going to look around the room and just ask all of our hearts just a really simple question. What are you teaching your children? You teaching them how to make money? Teaching them how to be successful in a career? Teaching them how to get along in life? Teaching them how to be socially acceptable? Teaching them how to have a good retirement and a golden sunset? Well, look, I don't think I fell off a turnip truck. Nothing wrong with teaching your children how to make a living. I hope you'll teach them how to be polite and how to be respectful to others, how to hold a job, how to lead a successful secular life. Mom and Dad, you have that role. Don't let the school educate your children. Make sure when they're done, you do God's work and pour truth into their heart. But I want to ask you what you're teaching your child about what life is really all about, about what living for Christ really involves, what it means to lay up treasure in heaven, what it means to fix your eyes not on the visible, but on the unseen. What I'm going to say next cuts deeply into my own heart. Maybe the reason that my children don't soar higher in their life for Christ is that maybe what they've seen in me is a man who is foundering in the mud of this world instead of my own self, listening to the instruction of the Word of God and living a life that truly soars for Him. Have we given our children lead boots? Or have we given them wings? Have we talked about Christianity as a duty to be endured, or pure delight to be experienced in my soul? Have I spoken about other Christians with criticism and cutting words? Or have I displayed Christ-like care for fellow believers and fellow members in the local assembly? Has my life been marked by negativity, what I can't do, or noble striving what I might do for the Lord Jesus who died for me? Has it been marked by passiveness, simply sleeping my way through life? Or real living passion for the Lord Jesus? That's why, brothers and sisters, we need to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Brother David, you had no idea where I was going to be going today, but you were reminding us of Hebrews chapter 11. We were thinking about Abraham, a man whose vision lifted above the lowly, earthly things of this world, and he looked before a city that had foundations whose builders, and he was a man who flew with wings for God. Moses was a man who turned his back on all the wealth of Egypt, and for the reproach of Christ, he sought the invisible. And the world will look at a man like that and say, what a fool. He could have had the world, but it was the wrong world. And whether it was the 3 months in his parents' house, I think that's there for a reason. Maybe even 3 months of godly parents was enough to lay a fire under a soul for Christ. Whatever the case, he was a man who was not satisfied with the tawdry things of life, but stripping the barnacles from the hull of his earthly ship, sailed. He flew, soared. He was a man who saw the invisible. Is that the spirit that you and I are going to give to our children? To see the possibilities of Christ-like living? To sense the power of a spirit-directed life? To select the path of maximum potential for God? Is that the spirit that you're going to give to your children? To give them anything else would be a great tragedy. John Piper tells a story of a couple who retired from New England. They took an early retirement, Christian couple. He was 59 and she was 51. He wrote they lived in southern Florida, where they cruised on their 30-foot boat. They played softball in the summertime and collected seashells. That was their life. And he wrote words that stirred me absolutely to the core of my being. I'm not over it yet. He said, picture them at the judgment seat of Christ. What are they going to say? Lord, look at my seashells. Brothers and sisters, there are far too many of us. We've got lots of pretty seashells. Is that what you're going to offer to Christ that day? I often tell young believers, especially young men who are learning to preach, that they need to know what they say, what they're going to say when they stand up, and then know what to say when they're finished so they know how to get down gracefully off the platform. And I have violated my own rule because I know how to get up here, but I don't know really how to close this message. Is it possible that there will be one person? Is it possible that there will be one couple today? And before God, you will devote your soul and your life and your being, taking these precious children and grounding them firmly in the Word of God and in the discipline of a godly or home. And from the Scriptures lift their souls to see what can be done for Jesus Christ and for His glory in a perishing world. I heard a man speak one time. This is what he said. He said, what would you try if you knew that you could not fail? I wonder what I would seek to attempt. If I understood that what is laid down for Christ and His service and His worship was work that He would sanctify and lift in His glory,
The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who pours strength into me. A light that soared from earth, soared right to the gates of heaven. I don't know how it goes, so I'm just going to do it.
May the Lord help us to cherish these little children. May the Lord stir our hearts to raise them for His glory. May the Lord help us to build foundations under them that will not be twisted or turned or eroded by a wicked, perverted world. And may God help us to give their souls wings, to look at Christ, to fill their eyes and their mind and their heart with Him, and to inspire them to live for the Lord Jesus until He comes. May the Lord bless His word to your hearts today.